Hey, good morning. Great to see everybody this morning. Welcome to our service. It's great to be worshiping together. If you're here for the first time or maybe you've been here a few times checking us out, I just want to especially welcome you. We're glad that you have chosen to worship with us. There is a connection card in the front pocket of the seat that you're sitting in. And if you'd like to fill that out, we'd love to just be able to connect a name with a face. So feel free to fill that out, share as much or as little info as you want to with us, and then you can just drop that in one of the offering boxes in the back of the sanctuary. Also, just if you're regular around here, you can always use those connection cards for prayer needs, prayer requests, updates. If we've been praying for you about something, we always love to know how that's going and how we can continue to pray. So use those for that as well. Let's go to God in prayer before we jump into our scripture this morning. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you just for a day to just come and to worship you and to focus on who you are in our lives. And God, I pray that this morning somehow we would hear you speak into our lives, whether it's through something that I say or something through scripture or maybe the words of one of the songs that we sing, or maybe just somebody says something in passing and they have no idea that they are speaking on your behalf into our lives. And I pray that we would hear your voice this morning and then we would follow that voice wherever it's calling us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes, open your apps. If you're using your phones and iPads to take notes with our app, you can do that. And let me just say, last week we started a brand new series that's a continuation of our Christian Elements series. And with Christian Elements, we're just kind of taking the time to just talk about over the course of about a year or so, just talk about some of the things that we feel like every follower of Jesus just ought to have an understanding of or a grasp of, or it should be a habit or a practice for us, that kind of thing. And so we've talked way back in August about prayer. We spent a few weeks there. We talked about community in September, October time frame. After the first of the year, sometime in the next year, we're going to be talking about Scripture and how do we read Scripture and understand and study Scripture and that kind of stuff. And let me stop, because Hannah Grace is saying that Pastor forgot to introduce her this morning. So little Hannah Grace is here for the very first time. I thought she was in outside. I didn't even know she was here. And don't worry, we love the sound of that, guys. So that does not bother any of us at all, because that is a beautiful little sound. But we are glad that you guys are here, Jeff and Danielle and your whole family. But anyway, so just to recap what we talked about last week, the first thing I said is that as we think about generosity and as we talk about our money and our finances and our resources and our stuff, you know, I realize we get nervous, right, when the pastor starts talking about this stuff. And I told you last week, I get nervous about it too. So we're all nervous. So we can all take a deep breath and it'll be fine. But one of the things I said is I don't want anything from you as your pastor, and I do want something for you, but it's better than that, that God doesn't want anything from you either, but God does want something for you. So we're going to talk about that. And then we looked at a couple of principles that I said was just really important for us to, as an introduction, for us to get our minds around when it comes to generosity and managing the resources that God has given us. And the first principle is this, that God owns it all. That God owns and we manage, and that's our responsibility. And then we said, just to be financially healthy, really what we need to do is just to spend less than we earn and do it for a long time, and we'll be financially healthy. And then I just left you with three things just to think about, not even really three things to do, but just to think about. And the first one was, do you really believe that God owns it all? I mean, do you believe that? Do you come from that perspective? And do your decisions that you make in life, particularly as it relates to your stuff and your resources, does it reflect that belief right there? And then the next thing I asked you to do was just think about, how are we doing when it comes to spending less than we earn? And are we living within our means in a healthy way? And for those of us that aren't doing that, or we're not able to do that, or we find ourselves in a position where we're just not being able to do that right now, we're going to talk about that this morning. And then finally, I just asked, do you have a generosity plan? Because we talked about some of the pitfalls of just kind of walking through life and looking at generosity from a kind of spontaneous generosity type of a mindset, and why that approach is not healthy and why it's not biblical. So you should have a plan for that. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Now today, I want to talk specifically, though, about debt and our use of consumer debt in our lives. Because most of us here know that there are basically two ways to upgrade your standard of living, right? You can either, one way is to save and invest and work and upgrade your standard of living. The other way is to go into debt. Because with simply, you know, signing your name and filling out a form, you can immediately have a higher standard of living, right? One is fast, one is slow, one brings peace, and the other brings woe. Don't you love it when I rhyme? But I want you to remember it. One is fast, one is slow, one brings peace, and the other brings woe, right? It's like, whoa. And we've all had those woe moments where we go, whoa, the shiny wore off, and I haven't even finished paying for it yet, right? So we've all been there. So what I want to do for just a few minutes is I want to do everything that I can to convince you that staying out of debt, if you're not in debt, especially if you're young and just starting out and all of that, and if you are in debt, I want to spend my time here this morning convincing you that you need to do whatever you can do legally, right, to get out of debt, and why that is such a good idea. And here's why. Because if you're a Christian, your Heavenly Father has spoken on this issue. The Bible is full of information specifically about personal finances and even more specifically about the proper and improper use of debt in our lives. And even if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a religious person, you're not a Bible person, that's okay. The stuff we're going to talk about is just really, really practical stuff. I think it can be helpful to you as well. So what I want to do is I want to show you just real quickly this morning three Bible verses. They're all from the Old Testament that speak directly to this issue of debt. And my goal, like I said, is to inspire you to come up with a plan to get rid of your consumer debt if you have it, and to stay out of it in the first place if you don't have it, because if you will do that, you will be free and you will have more peace in your life. Like I said, I don't want anything from you. I do want something for you. And being free and more peace is what I want for you. So first verse I want to show you is in the book of Deuteronomy, and here's kind of the backstory of this verse. When the nation of Israel was getting ready to move into the promised land, they'd been roaming around the desert for 40 years. They're getting ready to go into the land that God had promised that he was going to give to them. God made an agreement with the nation of Israel. And the agreement that he made with them was basically, if you will obey me and if you will follow me, I will bless you. I will bless your families, I will bless your kids, I will make sure your crops grow and your livestock is healthy and all of that stuff, and I will bless your land if you obey me and follow me. But if you disobey me, then I'm not going to do any of that, because I want the world to look at Israel, and when they look at Israel, I want the world to go, whoa, who is their God? That was the goal, that Israel would live in such a way that the rest of the world around them would look at them and they would reflect God to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world would be drawn to God. By the way, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that's still the plan for us. That's a sermon for another time, but that was the goal. So God had a conditional relationship with Israel, and part of his deal with Israel had to do with debt. So listen to this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. And this is the promise that God made. He said, "The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands." So that's the promise. I'm going to bless you, Israel. And then look at this next part. He says, "You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none." You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. As a part of my blessing, God says, you will be in a position to be the lender, but you will not be the lendee. Part of the evidence, he says, of my blessing on you as a nation is you will have the margin to lend, but you will never have to be in debt to other nations. That, from a biblical perspective, is when a person is in a position to have to borrow, the biblical perspective is it's because things aren't going so well for them. Now, the trap that we so easily fall into in our culture is culture comes along and it says to us, hey, things are going so well for you right now, we're going to let you live as if things aren't going so well for you. You have so much margin and you have so much borrowing power, we're going to invite you into a lifestyle that generally reflects that things aren't going so well for you. And if you borrow enough, eventually things won't be going so well for you. So congratulations. Right? I mean, that's what culture tells us today. But it wasn't always like that in this country. Some of you can remember this because you did this, and some of you can remember this because you saw your parents, like me, or your grandparents do this, but there was a day that if you wanted to buy something new, if you needed a new TV, you needed a new washing machine, you would walk into the hardware store or the department store, and you went in and you would say to them, look, I would like to buy this new washing machine, but I don't have the money to pay for it today. So I want you to take this washing machine, I want you to store it in your warehouse, and I'm going to give you $100 today. And then every week or so, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you another $100 or so. And when I finally paid off this washing machine, would you please have it delivered to my house? Now, we called that system what? Anybody remember? Layaway, right. A lot of you know layaway. You've done layaway. Your parents did layaway like mine did. Some of you are sitting here and you're under 30. You're going, how stupid is that? I mean, why wouldn't you just take it with you? Just give them the card or something, right? I mean, imagine today if you were to go into the car dealership and you're looking at that shiny new car, that shiny new truck, you know, whatever it is, and you go up to the guy and you say, hey, I'd really like to buy that new car, and I'm going to give you $1,000. Would you move it to the back of your lot and put a cover over it for me? And then I'm going to come back every month, and I'm going to give you $400 or $500, and when I finally paid off the car, I'm going to drive it home, right? I mean, they would look at you like you're crazy, and they would say, you know, how does that help us? Why would we do that, right? See, we wouldn't even consider doing that today, would we? But there was a time in this country that if you had debt, it was evidence that things weren't going so well for you. And so people avoided it, and they put things on layaway. Now, the cool thing about layaway is this. When you make the final payment on layaway, that thing that you just purchased is brand new, right? I mean, when today in our system, by the time you make that last payment on something, a lot of times you don't even know where it is, right? I mean, it's in the basement already, or you've already given it away, or you're worse, you ate it, right? I mean, it's not refundable, it's not returnable, is it? It just is. Or it's not shiny anymore, it doesn't have that new car smell, it's got dents and dings, and you're already thinking about trading it in. I mean, it's a rip-off, but that's the system that we live in. And here's what I want you to see. When you read through the scriptures, God says to us, why would you want to be in debt? Why would you want to do that? Because being in debt is evidence that things aren't going well for you. Now, the reason this is the biblical perspective is because God knows something that we all eventually learn, and most of the time we learn this the hard way. But look at this second verse. This is from Proverbs 22, verse 7. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Solomon wrote that. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, who had more money than all of us put together times 100, right? The wealthiest man in the world at the time. He says, look, as I observe the world, here's what I observe. Whenever anyone owes someone else, whether it's an individual or a nation, they become, in some way and in some capacity, a slave to that nation. Now, whether it's debt that you got into willingly, which is how it happens for probably most of us, or debt that you just kind of found your way into of no fault of your own, accidentally, or because of something that happened, or something someone did, or there was a financial bump in the road that there's no way you could have anticipated that. This verse is absolutely true. As you read through the scriptures, here's the attitude of our Heavenly Father. He says, I want you to be free so that you can follow me. And I want you to be in a position to be able to choose to follow me, your Heavenly Father who loves you. And in order to do that, in order to be able to do that, you can't continue in slavery and bondage to credit card companies and car payment and mortgage companies and people, whoever it is that you owe money to. And here's the strange thing about this. You know, we don't simply sell ourselves into that kind of bondage. Rather, we purchase and consume ourselves into personal bondage. And your Heavenly Father is going, why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you limit your own freedom? Why would you give up that freedom for stuff and for status and to impress people that you don't even know or probably don't even like? Why would you give up that freedom and make yourself a slave to people who, to them, you're just a number to them? God says, why would you do that to yourself? And the answer is this, because we lack something oftentimes. And this is very much a spiritual component to our spiritual lives. We lack self-control. And the reason most Americans find themselves in the debt situation they're in is not because of a financial bump, although that does happen. But mainly, most of the time, it's because things were going so well, and we bought into the lie that since things are going so well, we can behave financially like people for whom things aren't going so well. And we lost our self-control, and so consequently, we woke up one day, and now we're in debt, and now there's a big economic bump in our life, right? And all of these little debts that we thought we can manage, and we thought we had plenty of margin, all of a sudden, the margin has shrunk. And now we realize more than ever that the borrower really is a slave to the lender, just like Solomon said. Now, look at this next verse. This is also found in Proverbs 25. Solomon also wrote this, and I think this is just powerful. That this should motivate all of us, where debt is an issue. This should motivate all of us to make some changes in our lives. Here's what Solomon says. He says, like a city whose walls are broken, or broken through, is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through or broken down, is a person who lacks self-control. Now, this is true of self-control in any area of our lives, whether it's morally, relationally, professionally, academically, physically, where we're just not taking care of ourselves, but especially in finances. He says, you are like the commander of your city, and you're defending yourself against your enemies, and you've stored up food, and you've stored up water, and you've protected the walls, and things are going really, really well. And then suddenly, your enemy gets past your outer defenses, and suddenly the enemy is among you. And before long, you find yourself enslaved to whatever it was that you were trying to protect yourself against. And Solomon says, that's what happens when you lack self-control. By not exercising self-control, he says, you give over control to the enemy. By not exercising self-control, you give over control to someone else. And when it's financial, now there's a part of your emotions that are controlled by outside people, people that you owe money to. And now there's less peace. And suddenly you're not in control of your life in terms of your finances. And here's something that probably every one of us has experienced to some degree or another, and it's this, that when we're enslaved because of debt, when we're enslaved because of a standard of living, where we're living, what we're driving, how we're trying to impress people, when we're enslaved because of debt, it impacts our ability, not our desire. It impacts our ability, not our willingness, but it impacts our ability to be generous. I mean, how many times have you been at church and you hear something that we're doing here where we're raising some money for some organization or the community or somebody in need or something like that, and you're thinking, I'd really like to be a part of that. Or they're doing something in your office, and again, they're raising money for some kind of benefit or some kind of a need, or you have an opportunity to be a part of something, but it costs, you know, go on a mission trip or something like that. And in your heart, you're so generous. In your heart, you're saying, I want to participate in that. I want to be a part of that. And your conscience is saying, go, go, go. But Visa is saying, no, you got to pay, right? And maybe along the way, you actually hear God tell you, yeah, I want you to go, go, go. But again, your credit card company is saying, no, pay. And who wins with that? Well, your master wins. Whatever that is, your mortgage company, your car payment, your credit cards, they win. They impact not your willingness and not your desire. They impact your ability to be as generous as you want to be. So why would you spend another day unnecessarily in that kind of bondage where it impacts your ability to be as generous as you would like to be? And the God of Scripture and the God who created you and the God who loves you and doesn't want anything from you but does want something for you, he says, I want to invite you out of that. I want you to work hard. And I want you to get rid of all your other masters so that I can be your master, so that you can follow me and so that you can go where I call you to go and where you want to go when I call you. You know, the reality is this, that while we kind of drift sometimes into debt, the reality is we got to dig our ways out, right? And if you find yourself with a lot of consumer debt, then you've got to have a plan. I mean, financial experts, they call it a debt retirement plan. And there's a lot of models and a lot of resources for doing that. But along with a plan, I think you got to have some accountability. In my experience, I've had a lot of experience over the last 30 years of doing this and just working with people and meeting people. In my experience, the men and women, the couples and the individuals who had a ton of consumer debt, the only way they were able to dig out of that debt was to get outside help and have outside accountability. In other words, they went to someone and they opened up the most embarrassing part of their finances to someone else, and they said, "This is what I've done to myself," or "This is the situation that I found myself in, and I want out. I don't want to live with this kind of stress anymore. I need your help, but more than that, I need your accountability." Now, everyone on our staff has dealt with debt in one way or another along the way. And we all handle our finances a little bit differently, but we've all had to deal with varying levels of debt in our lives and in the lives of our families and growing up and all of that. And every one of us, we are available to sit down with you and to share a little bit of our story and to hear some of your story, but more importantly, to point you to some really good outside resources that have the ability to help you figure out, how do I start digging my way out of debt if that's an issue for you. So if you're a person that's carrying a lot of consumer debt, or even if you're just carrying a little and you're thinking, "Yeah, I know there's some people that have, they've got some extreme situations, but I think I'm doing okay. I mean, I've got a car payment, I've got a little bit of credit card debt, you know, but I've got it under control." I'm talking to you as well. I mean, why would you want to be enslaved to anyone? I mean, this isn't a matter of can you manage it, because most people can manage it, at least for a time. It's the big bumps that make it become unmanageable most of the time. But why would you want to put up with any of that? I mean, if I handed you a candy bar and said, "Well, there's just a little bit of poison in it," right? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, how much of that candy bar are you going to eat? Some of you are like, "Well, it depends on what kind of candy bar it is," right? No, but seriously, most of us would say, "I don't want to even touch it," right? I don't want to mess with any of that. And it's the same issue with consumer debt. Why would you want to expose yourself to any of it? So here's my challenge this morning, and I'll leave you with this and I'll be done. But here's my challenge. Would you just get a plan? Would you just get a plan? Would you be transparent with someone, maybe starting with yourself, but would you be transparent with someone that you trust and let them help you take some first steps, whatever those steps are? And maybe it's one of the pastors here, and like I said, we'd love to have a conversation with you. Or maybe it's someone in your small group that you've connected with and you think they could really probably help me with this and I trust them. Or maybe it's just a really close friend or somebody you know at work, or maybe it's a family member that you need to have a conversation with that you feel like would be a great accountability person for you. But would you decide today, "I am getting out of this debt. And I don't care where we have to live and what I have to drive and what other people think about me. I am not going to be a slave any longer to those who have loaned me money." Would you be willing to come up with a plan and to make yourself a little transparent, to get some accountability, and to get out of debt? And if you will do that, here's what will happen. If you will do that, I guarantee you, you will have more peace. You will have more peace. You'll have less stuff, but you'll have more peace, right? And you know what else you'll have? You have the ability to be more generous. And not just in your heart, not just in your desire to be generous, but actually be generous, because you won't have so many people who are going after the little piece of your finances on a regular basis. And like I said at the beginning, God doesn't want anything from you. God does want something for you. And the God who created you and the God who loves you wants you to live in peace, not in stress. And God wants you to be able to be in a position to be as generous as you want to be, and to be as generous as He created you to be. So if debt's an issue for you, get a plan. Find somebody that you can be accountable to that can help you with it. If you're young, if you're starting out, if you don't have any debt, stay away from it and follow Solomon's advice. Don't ever get into it in the first place. But if this is something you need help with, let us help you. Let someone help you and begin to take the next steps, whatever they are for you, and see what happens in your life. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, when we start talking about finances, especially in church, and we just all get nervous and we all get kind of awkward and uncomfortable, and I get that. But God, you have said so much about it, and next week we're going to look at what Jesus himself said about it. And you talk a lot about our personal finances and managing the resources that you've entrusted to us. You talk a lot about this issue of debt. And so, God, if there's anybody here this morning and debt's just not an issue for them, I thank you for that. And I pray that they would just continue to live their lives in such a way that they would always be free from that, and they would always be free to choose to follow you and however you call them, even if it's in a financial way. And then, God, for those of us in the room that debt is an issue, and maybe we'd consider it minor and small, or maybe there are some of us where it's pretty deep. And as we look at it, it just feels like we're in a hole and we have no idea how to get out. God, I pray that we would take some steps, and we would first and foremost just be honest with ourselves and honest with you about where we are and how we got there. But then I pray that you would just help us to connect with that person that maybe will hold us accountable, that maybe will just listen to our story and point us in the direction of some really good resources to help us start making some changes. And then, God, I just pray that we would work that plan, and that maybe a year from now or maybe 10 years from now, we would look back and we'd be so glad we did, because we're now living without the debt, and we're now living with the freedom that you've promised to Israel and that you promised to us if we would live our lives this way. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our song response.